Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
What happened last night? This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good morning.
It's been a couple weeks. I missed you Sunday mornings. Good morning. Last 2 weeks I just slept right through you. But I like this better. Because we're here for a couple hours this morning and I have almost no idea where to even begin. I do know where to begin, and it's going to confuse, I don't know, 65% of you. But the thing that I did last night is where we're going to start. First, I'll let you know that we're going to talk a ton of Chiefs, we're going to talk a ton of NFL stuff. We'll do a rapid-fire kind of selection thing going through the games. We'll keep you updated on the game in London right now. I want to talk about Alex Smith, if we're going to see a different Alex Smith throughout the rest of this year than we've seen from years past, and I've read a couple different articles over the last week where they took different perspectives on that issue, and is Alex Smith kind of a reformed quarterback, or is he a guy taking advantage of his weapons? We're going to talk about that a bunch later. Talk about the fact that Chiefs cut Cairo Santos, that there's no D Ford on Monday, maybe no Eric Fisher. We're going to talk to Nick Jacobs at 10 o'clock to touch on all that Chiefs stuff. I want to talk about the acts of unity that the NFL is rallying around and the problem with that. We might even have some time to touch on the Royals and the end of the era that is coming with that franchise. So we're going to get to all those places. But I wasn't doing any of that stuff last night. What I was doing last night, really what I did all day yesterday, was I was out in Lawrence, first outside and then inside Allen Fieldhouse. Charlie and I went out there to run a little 810 tent, and we did an hour-long show here on these very same airwaves, talking about some KU basketball stuff. It was great. It was a great experience, and there was way more out there. I think they're calling it Fog Fest. Is that right? I continually forgot what they were calling it, and then eventually someone came over and was like, "Hey, man, I heard that you don't know what this is called. It's called, I think, Fog Fest." Like, okay, cool. But there were a lot of people out there, and like food trucks and all sorts of different tents and a giant inflatable Jayhawk. It was fun. I did the show out there, though. That was good. And then we went in for late night. I've never been to late night before. If you don't know what late night is, it's very hard to explain, but also very easy to explain. It's just a KU party. They completely pack Allen Fieldhouse, and then, well, let me try to just give you a general summary of the events. You pack in, the women's team does like a dance routine, women's head coach talked, men's team did a routine, like a dance routine. So there's lots of dancing, lots of cheerleaders being thrown around, lots of dancers dancing. Then Lil Yachty comes in and performs for 20 minutes. And then KU does the men's team does like a 20-minute scrimmage. Just 20 minutes, running clock. Last night, they played for 20 minutes, and it ended on a tie. It ended as a tie with a last-second buzzer beater. I think they tied it at 43, in case you had the over-under in the late-night scrimmage. I think the over-under came in at 86, if I remember correctly. But we were down on the very front row, and I was in seat one, which was all the way up against the tunnel. So we began to figure out pretty early on, oh, there are a lot of cameras over here. Oh, this seems like it's about Lil Yachty time. Oh, here it goes. So then Lil Boat himself, if you don't know who Lil Yachty is, which I can't even imagine anyone not knowing, he's a rapper that has mostly famous songs that he like has a verse in. think he has one album of his own. I don't know. I would. Rudy's in today. Rudy, do you think it's fair to say that he's one of the most popular kind of like new wave of hip hop artists, right? Is that fair? Like I think he was a freshman in XXL last year with like 21 Savage and everybody. I think that's my. You can call it mumble rap if you want. It's kind of a pejorative.
Yeah, he just came out, like, I've got his Wikipedia page up right now.
Oh, hell
so,
yeah.
Yeah, 2016 was when he dropped his first, mixtape.
Uh-huh.
And earlier this year, not too long ago, he dropped his first album. So, yeah, he's one of the kind of new up-and-coming guys. You're right, though. Like, his best songs are when he's the featured artist.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what he's really known for right now.
And he did show up out of nowhere. Like, it's kind of amazing how big he's gotten so quickly. By the way, very excited to find this out. Lil Yachty's given name is Miles Parks McCollum. He goes by Lil Boat because Lil Yachty, it's like the boat. You follow me on that one? Anyway. This is in 2015, Miles Parks McCollum adopted the nautical stage name Yachty. The nautical stage name. That's amazing. Oh, he also had a verse on Coloring Book. What song was that? What was that in? All right, doesn't matter. Anyway, he has red braids with like clear beads on them, and it's iconic. It's an iconic look already. I'm willing to say this. The modern Beatle. Frankly, it's like seeing Bob Dylan perform. The lyrical prowess. My favorite all-time Lil Yachty lyric, I literally can't say. I mean, I could just censor it excessively. All my blanks come in pairs, like blanks in my blank.
We have a very censored version of it.
You played it. Rudy started off the show yesterday with that. And it was startling, because I was like, oh, God, I couldn't even, like, hear how censored it was. I just knew it was there. And he did perform that. He did his verse from I Spy, which was strangely censored. I actually, believe it or not, I took, like, 10 seconds of video, and I happened to catch just, like, that lyric. So we can review the tape later and figure out exactly how he managed to censor that. Anyway, he came out on the tunnel right by us. And then he came back, and I did the only thing that any sane person would do, and I just stuck my hand out because it was kind of like doing this like tunnel of like, you know, smacking hands on the way out the tunnel. For the record, I would literally never do that for, I think, any athlete. And I think it is kind of like a sports thing because now, like, I've been, quote, unquote, covering sports for a very short period of time compared to, like, everybody else who's ever used this studio. But it's kind of at a place where, like, especially with college athletes, for me, for me, like, I was like a foot from Devonta Graham at one point, and I was never like he's younger than I am. Although so is Lil Yachty, so that's a bad example. I don't know. I don't have like a mysticism going on with athletes, but artists, I want to let that youthful admiration live in me, especially for the great philosophers of our time, such as a Lil Yachty. So I stuck my hand out, and then as he went through the tunnel, he went right past my hand and did not make any sort of contact with my hand. And then he came back for it up top. It's a huge moment for me.
I mean, he went out of his way to come back.
Like, yeah. That's he big. Saw the hand. He's like, oh, wait a second. I got to come back. He fought through some traffic, too. It was like a LeBron dunk where he was like, his body was in front of him, but he threw his hand back just so he, Lil Yachty, could make contact with my outstretched hand. And then, so this also, Rudy, hope explains, whenever you asked me when I got you here, you said, why are you wearing one surgical glove on your right hand, and it's because I'm trying to preserve that. I obviously haven't washed my hands since that moment. And so I put this surgical glove on my right hand and duct taped the wrist around it. And now I'm trying to figure out how I can preserve this best. I don't know if I should cut off my own hand and put it like in formaldehyde. I don't know. What I'd like to do is try to clone him so we can have two Lil Yachty's. Which, I mean, you can have, like, what? Oh, like, Lil Yachty Jr. Like, Lil or Yachty. There we go. Booyah! Nailed it. First try. Not first try? Okay. Yeah, I'd like to be able to preserve any of this DNA that I can so we can clone and make a Lil or Yachty. But it was fun. And late night was weird. It was just weird. Like, again, all, like, the dance routines of, like, the actual KU dancers, that makes perfect sense. That's their thing. But then you've got, like Hunter Mickelson or whatever, like, just out there trying to be like, yeah, this is totally fine. I've got this.
I think you got the wrong tall white guy.
I know. At first I was like, wait a second. I know I did. As soon as I said it, I went, oh, no. Maybe I can just tell that as being on purpose.
I mean, they really do blend
What's
in.
What's the difference,
they blend
man?
In.
What's the difference? Jeff Withey was out there just cutting a rug. Is that one better? Was that right? Damn it. God, Cole Aldridge out there for KU. Super awkward last night. Who else? What? I need other... Former
we
tall,
had David Pageant for a year.
Perfect.
Tall white dude.
Perfect. Is he now in charge of Louisville?
Yeah, he's interim head coach.
Yeah, wow.
That was a great first gig.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Sweet. Good luck, buddy.
Your first year on the job, death penalty.
Yes. Yeah, hey, have fun coaching your six players that you get to keep to not
for
a tournament.
For the intramural squad.
Right, yes. Yeah, have fun trying to coach up like the guys who couldn't get on the football team and just be like, all right, you guys are athletes. Come on, I'll teach you how to shoot. But it was just a crazy atmosphere. It was kind of here. This makes more sense, I guess. The whole thing had much more of like a concert atmosphere than a sports arena atmosphere, which was cool. Just because like you turn Allen Fieldhouse into just a show. It was just a show. And then eventually the scrimmage was fun and everything. It was, and Bill Self spoke for a little bit. All three Jayhawk Grizzlies were there. It was cool. Cool experience. My throat hurts. Not because I was like cheering or singing along to Lil Boat too loud or anything. I was going to say, I don't know why my throat hurts, but then I remember that I was shrieking the whole way home because Charlie was driving the cruiser, and I just was digging my nails into the chair arms in pure fear. Actually, you know what the reason probably is that my throat hurts? Is just, we were driving the cruiser. The cruiser is the big 810, like, box truck. Like, it's basically it looks like a food truck in shape and size. That we call it the cruiser. I don't know why. Is that a normal thing to call that? One of those? I don't know what else we'd call it. Doesn't matter. We drove that up there because we had all the promotional stuff and we wanted to have the truck out there and everything. But Charlie drove it, which is great because I haven't driven it before and I'm a little bit nervous about that. Not like actually nervous, but just like, I'll avoid that if I can. But like the whole way to Lawrence and back from Lawrence, we were in the cruiser talking, and the cruiser is, I don't know, 75,000 decibels inside. It sounds like it's powered by jet engines, but it moves like it's powered by hamster wheels. It's the most, that is the most accurate thing I've ever said, and I just thought of it. This is why I was on an improv team for 2 years in college. Honing my craft for these exact moments. But late night was fun. And also, we might talk a little KU basketball at some point. I don't know, just because it just happened. We'll definitely be talking a lot of KU basketball during the season. Currently, as you know, Kansas doesn't have any other college sports being played, so it's okay to look ahead, I guess. Neither does Missouri. K-State may or may not, depending on the week. That's not fair to K-State. Here's something actually that happened in Lawrence that was funny. So outside Allen Fieldhouse, they've got this giant inflatable Jayhawk. They've got all these tents for this late night pregame party. We're out there doing the live show and just really like two dozen tents of different things and the food trucks, and they've got a basketball court out on the grass that's put together with like some sort of like removable rubber covering or whatever. They had one of those inflatable football throwing things, you know, where like you just have like a booth and then you just from like 10 feet away, you just have to throw the football through the little cutout circles. So they were having scholarship tryouts there. Just looking for talent. But what I thought was funny is just this was popping, man. Like there was a lot of people coming out, you know, we're giving away beads or whatever. And like 100 yards behind us, a baseball game was going on. A KU baseball game was going on. And the pregame party for the basketball scrimmage featuring Lil Yachty was so overshadowing it. I just thought it was kind of bizarre. And also a really good microcosm of like the state of Kansas athletics in general. There could have been a football game going on across the street and no one would have cared. Although talking to Charlie, he's going to try to make it out for the Baylor game because good God, Baylor. It's like the future that the Louisville basketball program has to look forward to. It's just bizarre. So there's my late night story, my first time, my second time in Allen Fieldhouse. Oh, one more gripe before we change gears. Allen Fieldhouse is obviously great. It got crazy stupid loud for a practice and a 20-minute running clock scrimmage. It got crazy loud for like the introduction of Devontae Graham. In fact, I had a few takeaways from the game. One was that Allen Fieldhouse is going to explode for Devontae Graham 1,000 times this year. He's taken the mantle of the star of that team. Rightfully so. We talked yesterday about how everything's going to unfold. Actually, and you can find if you want to hear the yesterday show, it's on the podcast and also on the Facebook page, maybe. You can definitely go to 810WHB.com and go to additional programming, podcast additional programming, if you want to hear that show. And I'll also make sure it's on the Facebook page. It'll be on the Jayhawk Nation Facebook page also. You can find that if you're looking for it. I'll tweet it out at JB Briscoe. We talked about all that, but I had three takeaways. One was that Devontae Graham is getting treated like a star, and he is going to be the keystone of that team. The second thing was that LeGerald Vick during the scrimmage, and just a scrimmage, was all over the floor, and he's been doing that for a while now. I'm excited to get to see him with more meaningful minutes. And my third takeaway, and my most important takeaway, is I touched Lil Yachty.
This is Sports Sunday.
Bill Self has had his eye on Steve Mikhailiuk since he was 7.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Which, when you say it that way, doesn't sound great.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh man, can you say all of that? I guess that's okay. Holy cow. Lil Yachty, baby, we saw that last night live and in person. Charlie Carlin here now, by the way. I know you're off on mic, but like thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways. He just put both thumbs up, and I could see he raised himself off the ground a little bit because he was putting both big toes up also. That's a four thumb up from Charlie in review of Lil Boat. It's fantastic. Also, if you missed the show yesterday and you're interested, now it is on my Twitter at JB Briscoe, and it's also on the Jayhawk Nation Facebook page. If you search Jayhawk Nation on Facebook, you'll find it. Because that's where we have a bunch of Jayhawk stuff. which is just, I run. It doesn't have anything to do with 810. This page not affiliated with Sports Radio 810 WHB. But I just, somewhere I could post it immediately. So that's where it is. Randy asked me, did I see the FBI at late night? I didn't. But it doesn't mean they weren't there. Also, outside the, at the pregame thing, dang it, what was it called, Charlie?
Fogfest.
Fogfest. Outside Fogfest. Or in Fogfest, excuse me. They had all these big tents, and there was a big, at least on the map, I never actually went over there. There was a big Adidas tent, and it made me laugh. I said that if you, you know, this wasn't in like the, in the press kit, the media kit, but I'm pretty sure that if you're over 6'7" and you went over to the Adidas tent, they would just hand you a duffel bag that might be full of money and that, you know, might have nothing in it. Just a little joke. Little joke! I think that'll be my, I think that's my rapper name. I think I'm reserving Lil Joke as my rapper name. And if you clone me, then you can have the Lil Joke. God. Yeah, really, my throat hurt. I'm currently nursing a Snapple and a bottled Starbucks pumpkin spice latte thing that my mom got me. It's not good. It's just not good. I'm generally kind of fine with pumpkin spice stuff. This specifically, this like cold pumpkin spice latte thing is just, there's too much going on.
One of the more basic things I've ever heard you say. So
I'm
basic.
Just like, yeah, no, it's
so
for sure.
Basic.
No, I mean, like, I'm not going to argue.
Pumpkin
it,
spice.
But it's just like, it's not great. You know what I'm a huge sucker for? Whenever we get the Christmas drinks out and everything, like some like chocolate and peppermint mochas or whatever, that bleep is my favorite. That is my absolute favorite. Pumpkin spice stuff, it's just a tease. It's a tease because it's so close to the good stuff coming, but we have to sort of like suffer through the pumpkin spice for that much longer. Ready for that peppermint chocolate stuff. All right, so there are a lot of directions we could go in here, all of which I'm happy to do, and all of which we'll probably do at some point today. We're going to either go with the NFL and their faux unity, or we're going to talk about Alex Smith. Either way, half of you are going to be angry about whatever I say, and I'm comfortable with that. It's an NFL Sunday, and I actually do want to talk about the sort of the unity thing that's currently going on. And also, prepare to have your mind blown if your general thought on all this was, well, this is a super divisive topic, but at least I know for sure that no one's going to come out here and be anti-unity. Oh, not so fast! Here I am, galloping onto the stage. The thing that's going on in the NFL right now, the way that all of this stuff that started as a protest, and the way that it's all gotten shifted around and everything, is honestly bizarre to me. It's fair to say that the original point of the protests has been really, really twisted and taken to an entirely different place. And even if, like, you weren't happy with anything this whole way through it, I think you can at least acknowledge that it's very different now than what it was. And I think there's a problem in that. So I know there's a lot to talk about with this. There are a lot of landmines planted around all of it. Give me a second to sort of, like, set it all out there, and then you can decide if you're angry or if you're bored, or if I'm a dope, or if I'm a philosopher. But just try to wait a second before you pass judgment on me. Oh, man. Rudy just reminded me in my ear of a very good production note that I need. Here, Rudy, new rule. I need you to pull up college football scores. So if I get kind of off too far on a tangent and someone gets annoyed, then you can just read a college football score from yesterday. Yeah, so I know there are a lot of landmines around this. I know that there's a lot of annoyance with the topic. I know there are a lot of people who are sick of it. I talked about it a few times over on ESPN Kansas City on my show from 4 to 6 over there, aptly named Almost Entirely Sports. This is an entirely sports story, though, by the way. It's everything we're talking about here is built on the foundation of sports and literally the actions of players on the sidelines. And now, in some cases, owners. So just give me a minute. And if you hate it, then fine. But I think we have to clarify a few things if we want to be able to talk about this sort of like intellectually, honestly. At every step along the way, this has never been about the flag or the national anthem. It's an important place to start. It's never been about the flag or the song. It's been about players using their most visible platform to ask people to look at racial injustice very seriously. When Kaepernick sat for the first time, he said that it was in no way a protest of or against the military, in no way an act of disrespect towards soldiers. In fact, he shifted from sitting during the anthem to kneeling because of a meeting that he had with, I believe, a Navy SEAL, who suggested that taking a knee would be a more respectful posture while still obviously getting his message across. So he shifted to that. Jeff Israel on Twitter said, thinking the NFL players are, quote, protesting the flag is like thinking that Rosa Parks was protesting public transportation, which I think is, again, a very artful, concise way of saying that. If you think that using the platform of the national anthem as a place, as a platform, if you think that using that as a platform is indelicate or inappropriate, then that's another conversation you can have. But that's, you have to at least get that far to say, okay, well, it's not about the flag or the anthem, obviously, because that's been stated 1,000 times. So just something to keep in mind so we get to the actual issues. Because last weekend, and I want to talk about this today because we're going to see more of this today. In fact, we saw some of it on Thursday where the teams were linking arms and the Packers asked their fans to link arms during the anthem as this show of unity. And this idea of shifting all of this to a unified front in the NFL is kind of silly. Obviously, I think everybody knows at this point, Donald Trump said at a rally in Alabama last week, that wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners when somebody disrespects our flag to say, get that son of a bleep out there off the field right now, he's fired. And I've seen that take from 1,000 people on Twitter and a few people in my family, and seeing it from the president was kind of startling. Because the president advocating for free Americans being fired for peacefully protesting is kind of jarring. But so Trump kicks in the door on the NFL with all of that. And the response from NFL teams and owners and from the NFL itself were these calls for unity. Teams locking arms or staying in the locker room during the national anthem. And with a few exceptions, but very few exceptions, owners sent out these very similar and very, very tepid statements saying that they're out here against hatred and they're for unification. And that was the buzzword. It was unity. It's been the buzzword for these last, 10 days or so. But there's a huge problem in the way that the NFL has done this. Because in these conversations that we've had about unity, in these statements they put out with the word unity, almost all of those statements never said what they were unified for or against. I wrote this next part, and I'm just going to read it verbatim because I don't think I can spitball it more efficiently. I wrote this over last weekend. This weekend, the NFL and NFL owners moved like cockroaches when the light comes on. Not because they're wretched, unkillable bugs, because that's unfair, but because when the light came on, as it did on Saturday and Sunday, they all scattered, running in 32 different directions, so desperate to appear to be moving that they never stopped to decide what they were running from or running to. That's what we saw from the NFL last weekend. And it tricked a lot of people. Say, ah, oh, they're moving. Look at that. Good on them. Good on owners. Good on Roger Goodell. Put Roger Goodell on the cover of SI, linking arms with Steph Curry. Yes. Look at that movement. How bold of them. The light came on and they moved. Good for them. It's giving them way too much credit. Because it really was just movement. It was just, oh God, we can't be the only team not moving. We got to do something. Even Jerry Jones went out and linked arms with his team, took a knee before the anthem, and then stood up for the anthem. Those actions only separated by the act of Jerry Jones finding that TV camera on the one knee, giving it a little smirk, and I swear I saw him wink, and before rising back up with his teammates in his two-toned blue suit. Even Jerry Jones did that. And the calls from the NFL and from NFL owners, their calls for unity were not good enough. And Clark Hunt's statement was one of those included in that whole package. And I really like Clark Hunt. I've spoken to him one time. He was very gracious. He answered questions that I don't know if they weren't difficult questions, but like the real questions. And he was very kind. I like Clark Hunt in my personal interactions I've had with him and also things I've heard about him. But his statement was in the same group of just putting out a statement because you don't want to be the team who's not putting out a statement. It didn't actually say anything. They're all baseless, meritless. I don't know how you could take any of those any sort of seriously. Because owners came out to defend the right to free speech when that's never been the point. Colin Kaepernick wasn't taking a knee to draw attention to to America's need for better free speech upholding. For all of its flaws, America's doing pretty good with the free speech thing. No one's getting arrested for speaking out against the government. We're doing okay there. That was never the point, obviously. The thing that Kaepernick started and that several players followed suit with was about police officers unjustly killing unarmed black Americans and then not being held accountable for those killings. Like, that's what that was about. And then Donald Trump came out very, very boldly saying, those guys should be fired. Owners had something to rally to unify for, and they had something to unify against if they wanted to go in either of those directions. Like, I think Pete Carroll had a pretty good statement along the lines of, like, this freaking guy. Leader of our country is calling our players sons of bleeps, saying they should be fired. Come on. But for the most part, I think it'd be very easy for more people to say, we have to look racial injustices in the face. We have to hold our accountability officers accountable. Obviously, you can see the reasoning behind that. To have the officers of accountability not being held accountable is a really bad look for a country. That was the point. That's where it started. Anyway, the place when the NFL actually moved, when the NFL started saying things and doing things, when owners and the organizations spoke up, was when the president of the country told them how they should act. When he told owners that they should fire their players who don't stand for the flag. Which, again, is not the point, but I digress. The owners finally did something whenever they were told how they should run their business. And NFL owners don't want to be told how to run their business. I'm guessing that rich, powerful people don't like being yanked around by other rich, powerful people. So then you get vocal owners. Owners who speak out against divisiveness. But Donald Trump has spent his short political career being divisive. Colin Kaepernick is divisive. You have divisive forces. There is division, and that's okay. That happens whenever you have contrasting ideologies. You have ideologies that that would indicate that the injustices in the country are so vital to bring attention to that you have to do it on your biggest stage, even whenever you know that people are going to misinterpret your message. And some ideologies would indicate there's nothing more important than the symbolism and the undivided allegiances that you should show to your country. Those are incompatible ideologies, therefore division. Unless you're going to come out and actually say something about those ideologies, merely calling for unity doesn't really hold any water. You can't unify those ideologies. You're not going to be able to unify Donald Trump and Colin Kaepernick. But it's easier than picking a side if you're in the shoes of an NFL owner. And something Shannon Sharp pointed out, and then also if you want to call in and talk about it, I'm totally willing to talk about it. I don't want to, like, you know, wrestle anybody to the ground. But we can. I'm totally open to talking about it if you want to. 913-38-10-810. Something that Shannon Sharp pointed out really, really well earlier this week. He said, "Where's the stand of unification against divisiveness been?" Because Donald Trump has been divisive and has insulted everyone from Ted Cruz's wife to Mexican Americans to John McCain. And that was divisive. But it wasn't worthy of NFL owners' attention or discussion at that point? Of public calls for unity then? Obviously, it wasn't, because the only time that it became worthwhile to put out a statement for the NFL was whenever the NFL was told what they should do with their franchises and how they should act with their players. And that is not a courageous place for the NFL to be. That is not a courageous thing for NFL owners to do, a courageous thing for the NFL itself to say. It's not courage. It's the exact opposite. It's cowardice to say that we're going to stand up to this divisive, maybe bullying force whenever it's coming at us directly, but not a second before. And Shad Khan and Robert Kraft, Daniel Snyder, Bob McNair, Stan Kroenke, the Glazers, the Johnsons, Jerry Jones, they all donated money to Donald Trump. Like, they knew who he was, but they suddenly objected to it whenever he came to the NFL's doorstep. They can all keep their half-hearted statements or whatever. Not super interested in that. All right, let's talk to Mike. Mike, you're on Sports Sunday. What's on your mind?
Hey, always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Obviously, I'm going to land on a different side of this. Have you talked about Michael Bennett's lie? What he said about the police officers, him embellishing this ideology, drinking the Kool-Aid stuff about police brutality. Have you talked about that yet?
No, I haven't. And I know that there was another video that came out yesterday, mm-hmm. a couple days ago, that I haven't had a chance to see yet. I saw the first video that came out originally and heard his original story. Haven't seen the newest thing. I did see a write-up, though, that discussed it as kind of ambiguous. I'll check it out, though.
And here's the dangerous part about people. I'm a retired educator principal for 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have believed this injustice that's going on with our, let's just call it our African-American children, our Hispanic population, couldn't be farther from the truth. What I find is, in working with people of everyone, because we don't like to separate ourselves by color,
mm-hmm.
is that I look at the reality of what we're dealing with in our society, and that is children who live in poverty, children who have money. It doesn't matter if the parents work together and they do a great job, education, following the rule of law, doing what's right, their kids do just fine. There is no racism that exists with children and adults that are doing the right thing, because these kids have every opportunity to go to college. And because if you notice, there's black lawyers, black doctors, black politicians, there's nothing keeping them back from that. And I just want people to know, and I want to thank the police officers, the educators, people like yourself that want to talk about these issues, keep things in perspective, because we're getting to a point now where it's very dangerous to have people like Michael Bennett embellish, "Oh, I was mistreated by a police officer," and all this sparks hate. And to see things in perspective, because we do live in a great country, and it's okay to talk about these issues. But I've been there with, mm-hmm. with people.
Sure.
And I will tell you, they've got every chance in the world, they being everybody. The system allows everybody to succeed. It's quite the opposite. And I just want to keep that in mind with it as you move forward.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your call and appreciate this the perspective. There are a couple things that I'm with you on and a couple things I'm not, but I'll talk about it all here in a second. I really
sure.
appreciate your perspective.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you. This definitely can spark hatred or division, and I am not 100% in on the Michael Bennett story. So I'll figure out what's new there, and we're going to talk about it whenever we come back. But I think to make the case that everyone has an equal opportunity to succeed, which I think is a fair summary of what Mike said there. If I misrepresented that, I'm sorry. But to say that everybody has an equal opportunity to succeed, the idea that everyone has an opportunity to be a lawyer or a politician or a doctor, whatever, is simply not the case. Now, in large part, that's most obvious with socioeconomic divisions. Kids born in more underprivileged educational environments, those kids are going to have a way harder time being a doctor or a lawyer or a politician or whatever it is that you have as a high prestige job. Then you also have to confront, you know, the inherent racial biases that we all have. And I don't think you can say that those don't exist. I guess you can debate the severity of those. I guess you can say, some people can say, oh, it affects every single interaction we ever have. And maybe some people that say it affects something here or there. I guess that's debatable, but it certainly exists. It exists for me. I know it does. I think that's one of the things that we could largely, as a culture, be better about is saying, oh, this is a place where I have some sort of inherent racial bias. And then if you can recognize those, then you can begin to fix them. That's been kind of the process that I feel like I'm always working on. And then also the idea that if you have parents working together and then the kids obey the rule of law and everything, that everything's going to go okay, it's just not true. Like the one that stands out to me is, I think, and it is really horrendous that you can ever get these mixed up, but the Philando Castile shooting outside of Minnesota, I think the officer asked him if he had a gun. He said he had a license, but it wasn't. He was never reaching for it. And the officer asked him to get his wallet. He said, "I'm not getting a gun, and I'm reaching for my wallet. I'm doing what you asked me." And then he was saying, "Okay." The officer said, "Be slow," whatever. And he was. And he reached for his wallet, and then the officer shot him and killed him in his car. I don't know what else he can do there. Like, and stuff like that happens all the time. Now, I mean, all the time can be whatever you want. I was having this conversation actually with a couple of friends this week. This idea of like, how seriously do you take a few instances? If something like this happens every few months in America, does that justify reform in the system? And I think if this happened one time, I think it would justify reform, because it would be a national outrage story. But America has so many instances of injustice being done to minorities in the country that it's not even a very big story. So, but also, if you want to say that, I think it's incorrect and unfair to say that this isn't an issue worth really critically discussing. I think that's unfair. But it at least doesn't make you have the moral judgment of what's more important, the national anthem or racial injustice. I guess you sort of say that one of them doesn't really exist, which is kind of That's kind of hard for me to get my arms around. Because I think we have such a large amount of evidence. But, and again, like the inherent racial biases that people, that we all, I think, deal with on some level. I think it's most harmful whenever we try to pretend that we don't. But also, the justice system for police is a problem. Like, that officer was acquitted. That's when it gets even more messy. So, all right, we're gonna take a break because Rudy's getting mad at me for not taking a break. Not because I've said something deeply. Maybe I've said something deeply offensive. I don't know, Rudy. If you want to fight during a break, you better come in here.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
This president seems like a bad dude.
Stick to sports.
Thank you, every caller.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I hate that liner. Because every time I have to point out the fact that I was talking about, like, a Turkish dictator or something. But out of context, you say, this president sounds like a bad dude. It's always like, what are you saying? How dare you? I was talking about a Turkish dictator. All right, let's go back to the phones here, which does make me so nervous because I don't want to arm wrestle. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, we don't have a ton of time left in this segment, but you should be able to get in. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for the rhetoric that you're holding in regards to the topic. I don't think that the actual stance that Colin Kaepernick was making is really looked at in the views that it should be.
Absolutely.
I think that his biggest stance is just he just wants accountability held to a professional that's doing their job.
Yep.
Like we should expect from any professional, any level.
Yep.
If, like the incident you brought up with the young man that was killed, if we seen a teacher not holding themselves accountable or doing something inappropriate in a classroom, everyone would expect that teacher to be fired because they're held to a higher standard as a professional.
Yes.
And that is entirely the only thing that he is asking, that as a professional to handle conflict and interactions with the public to protect and serve, you be held to a higher standard than we hold a casual citizen in the same circumstances.
Yes.
And I think if that rhetoric was pushed more than to say, oh, he's against the police, oh, it's against the flag, then there could be headway made to do something about it. And I agree with you. I think the stance that the owners and the NFL took was a cowardly stance because as an employer of a product that is majorly held by minority positions, mm-hmm. you should, in my mind, take their concerns a little more deeply in regards to that. I don't know. That's just my perspective. I think that the whole rhetoric of the issue has been completely mishandled, and so it causes for a lot of divisiveness in the conversation. At the end of the day, I just think every human should treat each human like their favorite human, and things can be moved along a lot faster and better as a country.
Kevin, I think you're right on point, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm right there, like 100%. The way that we talk about it has been so botched, and I'm part of the problem. Like this, whenever Kaepernick was still doing it on a weekly basis, whenever he was in the league, we talked about the protest more than the content of it, and that was a terrible mistake. That's another, he mentioned the, you know, the accountability thing, and also the higher standard that you would expect police to be held to. State employees out here to protect and serve. Very often in these conversations, you hear people trying to hold the average citizen to the higher standard and say, oh, well, you should have been trying to de-escalate this more than the police officer was, even though the police was the one aggressing the situation. I think it's a very nuanced conversation that we can totally wrap up in the next 10 seconds. All right, I appreciate the call. We'll talk about the Chiefs next. Thanks for the time to talk about something difficult.